Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is the all-time gaming super show.
Oh, I got to do your bit now. Super show.
Nice. That is James's bit.
You overdid it a little bit, but I'll accept it. Today I am joined by Jamie, the one and only, and Chris, the one and only, two legends of all-time gaming. A
couple of players, some might say.
Players, as Steph would say.
OG crew in the house.
Is this the first time you are hosting a pod?
This is not the first time.
It's the first time with me.
It is. We don't get to do it that often with all three of us,
so this is quite nice. It's a treat.
Yeah, how have you guys been? You been good?
Yeah, not too bad.
Keeping
exceptional.
Well?
Really?
No.
What's made you? Oh, okay.
I'm just trying to keep that PMA, baby.
You lied.
You know what Jones and I figured out the other day?
What'd you figure out?
All three of us have non-specific gender names.
We do.
Ooh. Chris, Jamie, Alex.
Yeah, we could be an all-female gaming super show.
Exactly. Yeah. You could.
You wouldn't know.
We could. But we're not.
We should swap ourselves over at some point.
I don't know if we should.
Just all have the switch and then...
Just a bit of a snip.
No, not us switch. Like, we just switch ourselves out with other people with the same names.
I mean, female. People wouldn't know. They don't care.
Probably be more entertaining.
They'd probably more people would tune in. Yeah. Okay, well, just
These
to say...
These three are great.
Before we get into it, before we talk about some games, just to say,
if you
want to get in contact with us at all, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV. You can also join us on our Discord if you join our Patreon for as little as $1. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, underneath this video right now, there is a link to our merch, which is on Teespring. If you're not... I'm going to screw this one up.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, let's hear it.
You can go to teespring.com/stores/alltimegamingTV.
TV, yeah.
Woohoo!
You got it.
Yeah.
And you can get t-shirts, hooded sweatshirts, as Jamie likes to call them.
Hooded sweatshirts, that's what they are, really.
They are.
And one of them was even designed by a fan, which I like.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jose.
Jose.
Very good.
It's really good.
But enough of all that. We're going to get on to some news, some hot takes a little in a bit. But I want to know what you guys have been playing.
Hang on, can I pick up on that? Was that your hot takes noise?
Yeah.
One more time for the folks at home?
Well, you got to leave me up with the name of the...
Would you want a hot take?
Oh.
Did I just say a hot take?
Oh.
And he does that noise.
He has to. It's like a forced kind of...
Yeah, I've kind of
bodily reaction.
I've built myself into
it. Does
it
work if it's part of another sentence? If I said like, these jacket potatoes are hot, take one. See what I did there?
That wasn't quite as enthusiastic.
Yeah, because it was the middle of a sentence. So I don't want to interrupt him.
Gotcha.
Didn't want to go like too overboard. Like, no, you don't want to do that. You know,
hot
like,
take. But before we get onto the hot takes,
someone's feeling
okay.
Very
I'm
going to
stop doing it.
Right
I'm going to stop doing it.
That's what I'm going to say.
I want to know what you guys have been playing.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Who do you want to start with?
Let's start with you.
Let's start with Jamie.
Right, because my news isn't as big or important as your guys'.
Maybe.
We'll get back around to
it. Just going
to
sip on my...
It's because we can always rely on you to have been having played something.
I have played something. I've been playing Super Mario Maker 2.
Oh!
Yeah?
Yes. I started playing it yesterday, in fact.
Very nice.
You're making or playing or both?
A little bit of both. Okay. So I didn't want to do too much making because I didn't have a stylus. You need a capacitive stylus these days.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I didn't really want to learn
to
make...
Use your Wang.
I could have used my Wang.
It's long and thin.
Literally
I've seen
and
it.
Metaphorically. It is very pencil-like in shape and performance.
He's got to shave the tip off every now and then.
Is that good or bad?
I've got to put it in an eraser and sharpen it. And it's filled with lead.
Well, you slipped over into the innuendo cast.
He was making whatever pencil. Noises they were 5 minutes ago.
Just for the hot takes.
So anyway, Mario Maker 2.
I've been doing a little bit of making, Switch, but I had to get a... exactly, on the Switch. I had to get a stylus from Amazon, which arrived last night. Oh, so I've done a little bit of making, but it's so tough. You remember Little Big Planet and things like that back in the day. Where do you get the inspiration from? And how do you actually... The tools are all there. Great. Very user-friendly. But making a level?
This has always been my issue, right? Like, even when I look at games of, like Minecraft, it's like, yeah, it's cool that you can do all this shit. I'm just going to build a hut.
Yeah,
everyone builds a hut,
and then everyone else builds a fucking working calculator.
But they don't. Like, one person does it, and everyone plays on that server because it's cool, and then everyone builds a hut.
You look at Super Mario Maker and all the cool fucking things. Even the gifs that get shared around on. There was one with those like little flame wall spinny things.
The one
went viral on Twitter.
Yeah, and that was
insane.
Like there were so many like that, and you're just like, I'm just gonna have him jump over a block,
and then he gets a mushroom.
That's what mine largely looked like, sort of 1-1 vibes.
Yeah.
So I've done more playing than making so far. Yeah. It's nice that they got a story mode in there, which is It's pretty simple. It's just 100 or so levels designed by Nintendo, but often to show off or tutorialize certain parts of the game.
Yeah, sure.
So there are little things like, for example, there are little objectives that can be part of your, like, the finish states now. So it's not just get to the end of the level. It's you can only finish the level if you've reached 30 coins or if you've killed all of this type of enemy.
Oh, that's
or
cool.
There's even one where it's like,
so you maybe have to backtrack to do something that you missed.
Exactly. Yeah, cool. Like, there's lots of backtracking anyway with things like, you know, red coins and doors and keys.
Yep.
And
yep.
People will design levels where you have to carry P blocks through the entire level. It's bastard-like.
Bastard-like. I always hated that.
Yeah. But
don't really carry a P block around.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm still getting my Mario legs, but I want to make something at some point, and hopefully we can play
that or
stream
it. You make an ATG level?
I hope so.
We can share it on our socials.
Exactly.
At All Time Gaming TV.
What are they, what's the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I always intend to build something in games. Like Far Cry Arcade, I was like, yeah, I'm going to build this awesome thing.
Yeah.
I got barely into it and then gave up.
Yeah.
I imagine it would be much the same with Mario Maker for me.
Mm-hmm. I think at least in terms of Far Cry Arcade, I don't think you're the only one who gave up on that system. So
I gave up on even playing things like Far Cry Arcade.
I definitely would much rather dip into levels that other people have made. I think that's
Did you play any of, like, you at one stage you had a list of YouTubers' stages that they made?
I have yet to do anything yet, but I know you can see certain creators' pages and levels they've made. I think you might be able to follow certain creators.
Okay.
So I might do that at some point, but then I also want to save some of that for if we do ever stream it or play it. So that'll be a fun way to get a bit of interaction going.
Why haven't we streamed it?
Because we have problems getting our Switch on the network here in our office. So once we figured that out...
I mean, I knew the answer. I just wanted to ask it for the benefit of the audience.
We have a bit of a security firewall issue thing, don't we? It doesn't let our Switch log in.
Yeah.
And therefore we can't play games like that because you need to be online.
I'll tell you what, networks and printers are two things that I could never fully wrap my head around.
Me either.
Two worst things about any office in any part of the country.
Oh, the network's down. Oh, the printer's down. Like,
two things that
something's
break all
broken.
The time as well. You'd think a printer would be the easiest thing in the world, but they're
like
so complicated.
Ink and paper, like, fuck off.
But then they're not. It's like, oh, it can't connect. What do you mean? I've plugged it in. I'm standing here.
Yeah.
I'm hitting it.
Anyway. All right, so, you're enjoying it, Mario.
I'm enjoying it, yeah. I never played the first one, so it's nice to be playing Mario again.
Cool.
That's what I'll say. But yeah.
Christoph, what have you been playing?
Right, so the reason why I wanted Jamie to go first is because you and I went to an event yesterday.
We did.
We went to the Quake 2 RTX launch party.
RTX Ooh. On!
RTX On, which is quite cool for Quake 2. I mean, it's a game from, what, 97, I think?
Sure.
And so we took part in a bit of a LAN tournament. Didn't go past the first round, but then again, there were only like two rounds to go through. There was like group stages and then just the final.
Okay. Yeah, and it was it three maps, first to 20 frags.
25 frags, I think.
So no, it was 20.
It was 20.
I remember that person went, whoever won the most won.
Yeah.
You did pretty well.
I think in overall, in our group, if you want to call it that, I came second.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Beating every time.
Consistently, so boom.
Did only the person that came first go to the final or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so they had like, I think they had like eight group stages, of which we participated in one. And then winner from each one gets put into this final,
gotcha.
Which is like eight players.
Where did you come, Jonesy?
I think I came after
you came
the third.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Do you know
what? It was a decent showing.
Nice 2-3 finish?
Yeah, it was a decent showing.
I used to play a lot of Quake 3. And so when we talked about this, I was like, yeah, wicked Quake, yeah. I realized I've never, ever played Quake 2, and I must admit...
A little bit different,
I was a bit like, oh, okay, this isn't quite what I remember. I died, like, 30 times in the third map because I just kept running in the lava.
So, you know.
I don't know why. I was running around, I was being all fast, shooting people, and I just kept jumping in the lava. I was like, no, I did it again, Chris. I just keep killing myself.
It was kind of mad, right? Like, so this event, the whole way they kind of, like, structured it was like, because the game came out in 97, let's get a whole bunch of sweets and make drinks from 97. So Jonesy and I were on the Smirnoff Ice.
Nice.
Smirnoff Ice.
Really?
Yeah.
And we had Dib Dabs, or what do they call them? Double Dips.
Double Dips.
The licorice. Is that the Dib Dab?
Yeah, basically anything from the company called Swizzler.
Space Invaders,
yeah.
Lollies.
What am I thinking of? Flying Saucers.
No, there were no flying saucers.
No flying saucers.
But you're in the right ballpark, right?
That type of thing, exactly.
Yeah,
refreshers.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, refreshers.
It's the kind of stuff that, honestly, I'm not just saying this to make you guys feel old, was just being phased out as I started to have more control over the stuff that I was eating.
But like,
it's better now.
Just that idea of that like old school LAN party, like it. A lot of good memories came flooding back when I was playing that Quake 2 as well, and like Jonesy was next to me. And Roisin was like watching us, which is like, man, this is fucking cool.
It was cool. Enjoyable. I feel like if I had old school LAN parties in the late 90s, it wouldn't have been Smirnoff Ices and Flight and Space Invaders. It would be more like pizza and wanking and.
Whatever energy drinks.
Was Red Bull a thing in 97?
Not really. You get that LAN party means that you're all together.
Yes.
So you were sitting there wanking.
I wouldn't wank in front of one of your friends.
No, but he wasn't jerking himself off.
Oh, of course.
As if you're back to back.
Loser does the jerking. Is that how winner gets
how do you
the
think
jerk?
You maintain peak performance over the entirety of a LAN party?
Wow. Okay.
You need to keep your levels at the right point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't get too
excited.
Yeah,
sure, all right.
Because you want to be the jerky, not the jerker.
Okay. Well, I must admit, mine was less.
This is a weird
layout. I feel hyper focused. That's prime time playing for me.
I've got to admit, when I was doing the old LAN parties, it was at school in the computer room, like 10
lots
people
of jerking
playing.
Off going on.
So
there.
No Smirnoff Ices and no jerking.
Ah, right. You know, that's a shame.
Not really a LAN party, then, is it?
Nah, it's not really school.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun, and man, that game. Even though it's like old game design, but it's like it's simple, right? But the core tenet of it is so fucking addictive.
Mm. And I have to ask about the RTX part. The ray tracing was good.
So I think completely irrelevant. Okay. From that aspect, like I think it was too simplistic for you to notice it. I mean, it looked crisp.
You know what I think it is? Crisp. It's a nice gimmick. But but if you think about it, in a deathmatch scenario. You're not really going to stop and look at the bloom, are you? You're not going to stop and look at the ray traced reflections.
It's not built, because it's not built for it either. Like the way that ray tracing, obviously, and we tested this actually on Metro afterwards. Where you notice it most is the occlusion, the shadow occlusion, the way light bounces through windows.
It's a very subtle
those
effect.
Those games don't have those elements because they're
no. But you see, this I think you're wrong. They were there, but we just didn't notice them because we're running around trying to
dodge.
Do you
think they were there?
Yeah.
I looked because around a bit and I didn't think they were that.
They were, because when we were waiting for the tournament to begin, I jumped into the single player portion of it and I was looking around and was like, it's quite nice.
Yeah, in the single player more so. I think a bit in the multiplayer one, because it seemed brighter in
because
general.
Because the pace is lowered?
Yeah, 100%.
Right, yeah.
100%.
That's why it's such a fascinating use case for it, because on the one hand, it's
but
they
have released
game.
They have released the single player.
I think single player you could definitely notice.
That's the thing, because like you keep saying, multiplayer, if you're going to be running around at whatever it was, 70 miles an hour, I can't remember what the actual stat was, but there is the stat
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, it's
mental.
It's like Sonic.
Yeah, you don't notice that stuff.
No, you won't. And especially because like, at both of you taking a sip, especially at one point in the game, like, you know when you're on these like, fast-paced tournament ones. You must have it in COD. I used to have it a lot in Unreal tournaments as well back in the day. It's almost like graphics are irrelevant. Like you don't acknowledge any kind of graphic. All you know is like ramp, staircase, door.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Wall,
ammo,
enemy,
gun, ammo, armor.
Because everything's just going so too fast that you actually your brain can't cling onto the detail of it. So you just need to, you almost like discard it immediately.
Yeah. There's something that happens, like your brain almost sort of maps out these maps in your head.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like if you go back to the first person shooter that anyone of us remembers the best or the most.
Yeah.
Like you can run through those levels in your head, and yet it's not about specific imagery or textures or things. Like that. It's about locations and like that's where they spawn, that's where I spawn, that's where cover is, that's a hiding point,
so
that's a choke point.
That's where, when we're talking about Quake 2, Jones was like, oh yeah, I remember like on the, you were, there's this thing in space and you're on the jump pads, and I was like, no dude, that's Quake 3.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like it's that experience, but it's changed. And he's like, oh, and remember there was a map like in space where it was like two like towers with the three lanes in between. I was like, no dude, that was Unreal Tournament.
They all blend together a bit.
They do all kind of blend together, but especially because of that era. But yeah, that was cool. But then that wasn't the only game at this event.
Ooh.
I do think going back to, and then to go on to the game, why we were the main game we were at the event for. I do think the way games are designed still needs to take full advantage of that of ray tracing, because it's such a, it's quite a subtle effect, but I think it's quite a powerful one.
Oh yeah.
So I do think the games, like, it was awesome to play Quake, and it, at one point it was at like 280 frames a second or something ludicrous, I think.
No, that was on Overwatch.
Oh, was that over? Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. God.
So it's Overwatch RTX enabled.
So they I don't know if it is, but they had it on the machines there.
Okay. Right?
And they had an FPS console, because part of this, it wasn't just the RTX cards, it was the RTX Super.
Okay.
Right? We didn't get paid for this, I promise you, but they did just invite us, right? Yeah. So we're going to talk about it. So they had an RTX Super. I don't know what, I would imagine it was an RTX 2080 Super in there. But yeah, like Overwatch max settings, like, between 220 and 280 FPS.
Okay.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I mean, fair enough. You know what, like... Oh, and I think at 4K as well.
Okay, good.
G-Sync, blah, 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 all of that. But it's worth mentioning, like, you know, Overwatch is not really the most graphically intensive game.
It's not.
So, yeah. But there were other games there, so... We had
we played Metro, a little slice of Metro, yeah. And that was a good one to actually look at the difference between. So we had two machines next to each other, and we could look at, and we were comparing them, like, you know, like for like, to see one environment with
retro. Yeah, one machine had on, one machine had off.
And you can, so those are the things, I think, those games are almost made for it, because the way that the light comes in through windows.
Yes. I remember seeing this one graph, which was quite interesting, which was how much level of RTX different games have, because not all of them are using RTX for the same thing.
Right.
And like on the one end, I think it was like Shadow of the Tomb Raider, maybe it was like, oh, they're just using RTX for Shadows.
Okay. Yes.
And then it was more like Metro's, like, actually, like, global illumination in that game is like RTX.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Like you said, like, different games need to utilize it differently and et cetera. But the game that we were there for, mainly in our eyes, like, the reason why we wanted to go, was Control.
Right.
The Remedy game.
Yes, coming out end of August, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Not too long.
Not too long.
In fact, it's going to be in our Games for August list. A little bit of a peek behind the scenes there.
Keep an
eye
out.
It would be. It was a lot of fun. We'll get into kind of the game in a bit, but that game, for instance, utilizes RTX really nicely.
Yes.
The design aesthetic of the game is quite simple, I think. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're in, like, a government building, and the government building is, like, concrete walls, and...
It's big, it's grey. But there's a lot
splashes
of...
Splashes are brown.
But there's a lot of lighting going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
Different types of lighting, different ways of using it, like, a lot of shadow. So that was one that I thought really worked with the whole RTX.
And it made it, yeah, it definitely made it, like, super atmospheric. I really liked it. Like, I was a bit unsure about the game from the trailers, and, you know, like, because, like, what is this game? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's a bit of an enigma.
Yes,
and I think that's what it's going for. But playing it, I can confirm it's definitely a Remedy game in the best sense of it, right? I really enjoyed it. Like, everything felt really nice. It seemed like a nice upgrade path. Story seemed suitably quirky.
Playing on keyboard and mouse, or did you have a choice?
We're on PlayStation.
PlayStation controllers.
PS4 controllers.
Yeah, and they disabled the keyboard, annoyingly, because I was like, I was playing the keyboard.
I wonder if that's because you could do debug stuff on it.
Probably. So I went into...
That's what happened at the Borderlands event.
Yeah. I went into the menu, trying to, like, fuck around with the graphic settings, right? Because, like, so I noticed some things were on medium. And then, like, one of the tech guys came over and he was like, just so you know, you can tinker with those things, but it's not going to make any difference, because this is, like, whatever build it was, let's call it the E3 build. He's like, this is the E3 build and there's only one option. Like, these options don't actually mean anything.
Right.
Because the build is the build.
Yes. Can we talk about that build for a little bit?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like there were a few problems, maybe?
A couple of little technical bugs here and there.
Yeah.
I think
Which is to be expected.
Yeah. Nothing major, but I mean, because it was maybe a slightly older build, there were a few crashes and things.
At least you hope it's an older build, right? Because it's a game that can't be far away from pushing for cert if it's coming out in a month and a half.
No, I mean, the tech dude there did say it was a very specific build.
Right.
Right? And the only issues that we did encounter were some hard crashes.
Mm.
Other than that, the game itself was not buggy.
Okay.
No, everything was fine apart from that.
Yeah. So basically what happened is, my instance was, I went into a menu. When I exited the menu, I just had a black screen and there's nothing I could do about it.
Mine was, I just ran into another room and it just froze. I was like, oh, it's frozen.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
There you go.
I don't think it's that big a deal in terms of the kind of event that we're at and what they were showing us.
Yeah, it was just a vertical slice, really, for us to sit down.
Yeah, because remember, it wasn't the control launch party.
No.
If it was the launch party and it's like we're playing this game, it's like, well, this is maybe a little bit not great.
Yeah, I mean, the Quake 2 was the main focus of why we were there, and they just had a few machines set up, didn't they? And Control was one of them where we could hop on and play.
It was, it was really nice. Got a few t-shirts.
Nvidia shirts.
Yeah. Oh, Nvidia, right? Yeah.
I'm a little less keen.
Okay.
I think, as you know.
Well, I mean, I think you called it or said it looked shit prior to playing it.
So I changed
that. Slight improvement on that, maybe.
Yeah, but it doesn't look shit. And it plays well, like it feels nice. And those force powers where you can pull things to you in the environment, that actually works really well. And you don't, I don't know about you guys, but I get really frustrated in those games where you have to like look at something, hold down the button to grab it, then turn to throw it at an enemy. This is much more of, if you see an enemy, you can hold down R1 on the controls we were using, and it would like force pull something nearby.
Yeah, just something.
Just anything nearby. Then throw it out.
Yeah, and you don't have to have a foot, like, if you see something you do want to pick up, you can highlight it and then do it, and it will pick that up.
Because part of the game, you need to do that.
Yeah, but if you're in the middle of a gunfight and you don't really want to like aim for the barrel, you know, you're still looking at the enemy, you press the button and it just, like, holds a hand up.
Or a fire extinguisher from just behind you will fly into it, like fly into just in front of your hand, and you'll send it out.
Yeah.
And that stuff felt really good. I did one of the...
There's a little bit of a lock-on as well when you're throwing it at enemies.
Yes,
you like get if you get in the general position, like general aiming area of an enemy, yeah, a little triangle will come up and you'll be like... Psh.
Okay. And that stuff felt great. One of the...
The gun was nice as well.
I have mixed feelings about the gun.
Yeah. But did you try both modes? Because there was like a mini shotgun mode, like a Mozambique.
Yes.
Mozambique.
And the pistol.
I
like the idea of it. I like the idea that the one gun switches into different modes. Yeah. But at the same time, I kind of found it a little bit... I don't know. I quite like that act of pulling out an assault rifle, pulling out a shotgun, having a pistol. It almost feels like you were just using one gun to fire different sorts of rounds. And I was a bit like, it does physically change, doesn't it? It looks different.
Yeah. So you understand kind of where we're at. We got jumped in... This was a vertical slice.
Mm.
We got chucked into the beginning of the story, towards the beginning, but it wasn't the start. So you had a few skills unlocked.
Must have been pretty early, because we hadn't met the janitor yet, had we?
Yeah, so it was like maybe like an hour in...
A few skills, two weapons.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. So it would be interesting to kind of see where it goes and how it fleshes out. But the upgrade system seems very nice.
Well, we know it's kind of got Metroidvania style elements, right?
Yeah, so and it's quite a big map, and like there's this one area where you go into like this power plant area, and looking at the map, and it's just it is kind of like a big hub.
Yes,
it's quite nice
because they call it is it the house or something?
The oldest house or something like that.
Yeah, but that is not it isn't a house. It's like a government facility.
It's like got some like strange kind of Twin Peaksy elements where it's moving and changing.
Well,
this
is what I don't really understand, right? Like. There was this one bit where it's like there was some kind of a corruption, and you need to use your psychic powers to dispel the corruption. And when you do that, then all of a sudden the walls kind of, instead of going like all angular or whatever, they just kind of like flatten out.
Yes.
So I think that was
blocking your path.
Yeah, and
when you control.
But
that
I don't know
point,
what. Like I haven't been following it too much, so I don't know what the story is behind that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
All I know is that the building is the base for what's referred to as the Federal Bureau of Control.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an undercover agency, like the Adjustment Bureau or something like that, that deals with what they refer to as paranormal activities or paranatural activities, I should say, and kind of covering up and trying to investigate strange occurrences in the world that apparently are now happening from within their own bureau. If you go back and watch some of the early trailers before they showed gameplay, they give you a lot about the kind of the tone and the feel. That's what originally got me interesting, is they're all very unusual.
Well, I think if that got you,
Lynchian.
If that is what got you interested, then I think the game is going to carry on that kind of sense.
That
because
and
it's a lot of fun.
The gameplay, I've heard one thing about the gameplay, which is largely what I wanted to hear compared to Quantum Break, the previous one, which is so apparently there's kind of this idea of when you have playing a third person game, the animation led input, animation led movement and input led movement. So animation led is this idea of, if you think about something like Red Dead or something like that, your input is what creates an animation.
Yeah.
Your input, your next input cues an animation rather than breaking the current animation.
Yeah.
So
you got to wait for it to finish. So like
right, exactly.
Rifling through drawers in Red Dead.
Whereas something like FIFA would be the exact opposite, where input is so important, anything you do immediately breaks right. the previous thing. And they switched from Quantum Break to Control from animation-led to yeah. input-led.
Okay.
So now it's much more snappy and responsive, yeah. is apparently what they were saying.
I think for combat, you need... It's frustrating as all hell in combat when you have to wait for something to kind yeah. of... do its thing before you can do
right,
something
or like
else.
When you change direction and your yeah. character has to kind of like slow down and then turn yeah, around bullshit. And then run back.
Or you hit roll in one direction and then someone actually is about to, like a grenade lands there and you want to roll away but then you can't because he's got to stand up and you're like, yeah. no, just roll away.
So
hit the button.
The one thing, like, so it got me a lot more amped for Control than I was. I was intrigued, but now I definitely, I think I'm going to buy it.
Good. Yeah,
which is nice, a fair enough nice. Kind of like... recommendation, right? Jonesy's not so sure.
It's okay, so
Jonesy, you're gonna buy it and you're not gonna finish it, just admit it.
So
don't push that button.
I like the combat yeah. and I like the way the game controls,
but aren't you intrigued by the story?
And that was what I was going to say. The reason I would play it is because I want to uncover that mystery, yeah. and I want to progress through it. The gameplay, a little nostalgia for me in the way that you go through that world, in that you unlock this power to do that. You can't do that bit until you've done this, and it's I suppose it's not really as common these days as it used to be. That sort of gameplay with
I kind of feel like it's coming back in a decent way.
Very
you know?
Possibly, and yeah. I think. But the way that I was saying to Jamie earlier, the way that when you talk to this guy and then walk out of the room, you then have random enemies that have spawned the way that you need to go, and it just feels a little done. And
but you think that perhaps the story can kind of make up for that, because the story yeah. could explain stuff like that rather than it just happening.
No, absolutely. And I think I'm a lot more hopeful from it, from playing it, enjoying the elements to it that I needed yeah. to. I'm definitely open to seeing what else Hell that yeah. game's about.
Having yeah. said all that though, right, you know what it really made me think of?
What?
What do you think I'm going to say?
Max Payne?
Yeah, I just want another fucking Max.
Yeah.
From Remedy. Sorry, Rockstar. I want another Remedy Max Payne with those fucking graphics and modern gameplay sensibility.
That would be wicked.
I would so cream.
That would be good.
I would so cream. I'd take another Rockstar one while you're at it. Just, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I really liked Max Payne 3.
I'd hate
Max
it.
Payne 3 is a damn good game.
Fair enough.
I genuinely hated it and stopped playing after about an hour.
I never played it.
Interesting
so.
Fellow.
Really, really.
How great would this be? You say to Rockstar and Remedy, you are both making Max
Hit them
Payne
against
4.
Each other.
And we're going to release both of them. It's not like a competition. We're just going to release both of them.
Wow.
And I'd just love to see
Metacritic
like...
Metacritic decides.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine?
I think Rockstar win.
That's the real battle royale.
I'm sorry, Remedy.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. Like... You know what? Remedy at their best is pretty fucking darn good. Remedy at their worst is pretty fucking darn bad.
Yeah. Luckily, we don't see the worst too often. I want another Alan Wake while they're at it. I really like Alan Wake.
Oh, well, might be coming.
Alan Wake. Awake.
Oh!
See? Okay, it's deep.
Yeah, totally.
Well, with that insight, so, I think we should move on to some...
That was fun. I like it.
News story / hot takes.
Indeed.
Before There's we get onto effect. That, though, I will just remind everyone that if they want to get in contact with us, if you want to reach out to us, you can do so on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV. Ooh. Or you can comment on a YouTube video.
Yeah, and can I just say, let us know what you guys think about Control, because genuinely interested to know your thoughts on this enigma of a game.
Yeah, because I must admit, I was one of those people that was like, so I would definitely be interested to hear what the audience have to think about it. So a few little things to touch on to get your guys' opinions on from the past week.
You like touching on little things, don't you?
I do. So number one that I want to get you guys' opinion on is Respawn have announced that they're going to matchmake cheaters and spammers with each other on Apex Legends. They're working on a machine learning or some machine learning tech that will better identify when people are cheating or spamming, and it will try and put them together in the same game, or just kick them and ban them. Let's go for putting them together in the same.
Yeah, I've got an interesting take on this, but Jamie, I want to.
Well, I mean, I've been playing a lot of Apex lately, and luckily I haven't had to deal with any cheaters, so I think they're probably doing a decent job already on consoles, at least. Can't speak for the PC. The PC game, the PC version.
PC would be a wild west because people could just mod it a lot easier.
Exactly.
Right?
But generally speaking, I'm all for this because, you know what? I don't like cheaters and I don't like them getting away with it. And I think banning... I think they expect banning. I think they go into it saying, this is what's going to happen if I get caught.
I'll get banned.
Exactly. There's something about this that's a little bit vicious. It's a little bit dog-eat-dog and I kind of like it. And I also like that it's almost a little bit full circle, right? Yeah. Like, you're creating, because it's still a battle royale game, you're creating a thing where you're taking all the cheaters and putting them on a separate thing.
Yeah.
So it's almost like Battle Royale.
And you're still monetizing them as well.
You're putting them all in the separate thing, aka like a separate island, and saying, hey, you will have to kill each other because you're all pieces of shit.
Do you know what's funny is I'd kind of want to watch a game that was like all cheaters.
All the cheaters, yeah.
Because I'd want to see how...
Because it'd be mayhem, right? Like,
if they've got like wall hacking and they've got, you know, all like great speed and stuff, it would be kind of... It would be like watching the Olympics where you allow everyone to take steroids.
Exactly.
I'd watch it.
Some people are in favor of that. If you create a separate division for like people who are on steroids, I'm all for it because they're better athletes.
The small dick division.
Are you asking me? Like, let's say no one's going to be as fast as Usain Bolt again for however long. I don't know if that's true, but I'm just guessing that maybe there's no one that fast for another few Olympics. You offer me a steroid Olympics in Japan next year and said, yeah, the world record for the 100 meters is going to be like in the eights. Then I'd be like, I'm watching that instead. They're faster.
Yeah. There is some element to that.
Well, like steroid UFC would be amazing.
Well, that's what it used to be, didn't it?
Exactly.
They went the other way. Cool. They cut it out.
Anyway,
so what's your take on that?
I'm all in favor for it in principle, right? Or in concept. I'll tell you why. Because the problem is this. So, in Dota, they've got this thing called low priority. All right. It's not a new concept. You guys probably have it in some games. I don't know.
I think Overwatch has some kind of feedback system.
Yeah, right. So the thing is that you can get penalized for a number of things, from toxicity to abandonment or AFK, whatever it may be. It's a reporting system. So, you know, behind the reporting system, there's a sense of like understanding as to what's happened,
right?
Like, they can look at the logs of the game and say, you know, blah blah blah. It is largely an automated process, but I think in certain cases they can get like manual involvement. But the issue is this, right? I was playing a game. Now, I'm not really a toxic gamer, you know me, I'm not overly competitive. All right. I was playing a game of Dota and I had to be called away to look after my son, right? But it's an online game, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's not like you
so I had to AFK.
Yeah.
All right, but I AFK'd for too long. And it's not that other people reported me, but what happened is the AFK systems that they have in the game kicked in and said, you've been inactive for whatever the threshold is, like 5 minutes. We've kicked you from the game and we've given you a low priority. We've put you in low priority.
Yes. Okay.
Right? So now what happens is I'm in low priority when maybe I shouldn't have been in there. Okay?
Yep.
But who else?
Your teammates probably argued you should be.
Probably not. So, you know, like,
God damn it, Chris, not again.
I'll be honest, if I was matchmaking in a multiplayer game and one of my teammates that I didn't know had to go and tend to a child that was AFK, I'd be like, fucking kick him out. what are they doing?
Yeah,
get out of my game.
I must admit, there is an element of that.
And that's fair, right? But what happens is I get put into low priority where you need to win. I think it's like, they might have changed it recently, but you had to win a certain amount of games in order to get out of low priority.
Right.
But now who else is in low priority?
Other twats.
But like proper. I'm not talking about like AFKers. I'm talking about like inting guys who like go down mid and feed themselves, and guys who just flame on chat all the time. And it's just like trying to get out of low priority when like maybe the punishment was too harsh for what you've done.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It's like when you're at school and you've got there's a kid who's not that bad, but they're not quite, you know, they're a bit disruptive. So they get kicked out. They get put into the bad school with all the horrendous kids who like burn cats and things. And
you're exactly.
I don't think I belong here, man.
And then all of a sudden, it's like a year later, it's like, oh my God, Timmy used to be such a nice kid and nice burning cats.
Yep.
Well, yeah, because you put him in the cat burning school.
This was my I'd agree, but this was my worry about it is, when you get classed as, you know, a cheater, spam, or whatever it's going to be, or even to, like you were saying, into sort of a low priority mode, how do you get out of that? Because it could be unfair in some cases.
And the thing is, like, what is their criteria? What constitutes a cheater or a bad influence or toxic player? And then And then what appeals process do they have? Like, you need to have those fully fleshed out before you can implement a system like this, I feel.
So there was an example when this was badly done, I suppose. I think it was in PUBG, if I remember rightly, in that there was a glitch with a swing set that if you jumped onto it, it would swing really quickly.
Yes,
and
yeah,
the
I
game
remember this.
Would then pick up the fact that you were traveling faster than was able, therefore you must be cheating, you must have a speed cheat on.
Yeah, and then
so people would get kicked for cheating, but like as Chris said, but that they weren't, and they were just like they were
just on a swing.
But here's the question. Like, what, assuming most of these games have appeal processes for when something happens, when some action gets taken, which I believe is the case, what's the difference between getting banned and having to appeal it and getting put on the cheaters island and having to appeal it? There isn't a difference, really. Either way, you've been falsely accused of something, and you have to appeal your way out of it. I agree that there should be as many principles and, you know, things in place to avoid that happening.
I think the cheaters island is better than an outright ban.
Because I worry that you wouldn't know. That's one thing I worry.
Well, like
about.
Shadow ban.
Is that you? Every time you get match made, you just get match made with. Like, yeah. So all these people are real arseholes.
Look, Dota, it very clearly states you are in low priority. You need to win X amount of games in order to get away from low priority.
So maybe they need that. They need to make sure.
Yeah,
that's
but there. So it's much smarter, right? Because technically, why should the game and the developers suffer for having people cheat, right?
Oh, yeah,
right.
I agree, yeah.
So put them in an island, still monetize the fuck out of them if you can.
I do quite like that, rather than just kick them or whatever.
I think we all have this idea in our head that it's nice to see them have a taste of their own medicine and be like, this is how it feels to be unfairly killed, for example, in Apex.
So GTA 5 had the same thing with online, right? They had a thing whereby if you did a lot of... not cheating, but if you were just like an asshole,
you had karma.
Yeah, and if you had negative karma, you would put other people with negative karma, which I quite like that. I quite like the idea that, like you said, that they can get a taste of their own medicine.
But you see, that sounds nice because that sounds like a self-regulating system. Do you know what I mean? Like, hey, you've got bad karma, so you're going to be in the game with more people with bad karma. So what you do in the game, you're trying to accumulate good karma.
To get back
in. And I think that's a nice way of doing it.
Right. It's
like a self-regulating system.
It's so, the prison way. You lock them up and then they have to be on good behavior or they stay in prison.
Rehabilitation.
They get rehabilitation.
Prisons don't rehabilitate prisoners, but they don't. So that's another conversation.
Wow, getting deep here.
Well, but you know, like, imagine if you were in a low priority or a fucking cheater island and it's like, all right, the only way you can get out of Cheat Island, A, stop cheating, you douchebag.
Or send us money.
See, here's where I kind of, this might be controversial.
Yeah,
I don't want those people to ever be able to play again.
Oh, okay. So you would literally be like, no, that's where you stay.
Yeah, or that, like, it's, Apex is a free game, so they can make another account, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, and this is where I'm kind of torn between, do I like Cheater Island or do I like straight up banning?
Mm.
Is there something about banning that's nice and definitive and saying like, no, motherfucker, you cheated.
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing this again for however long or... Which is how it works in most sports, for example.
What about branding?
Oh, like you
branded.
You have a dunce cap on the whole time.
Yeah, but the dunce cap like glows like bright green, so you can never like hide or you know like you get like a silhouette around you and you glow.
And it's also a hitbox. It's an extension of your head. So if you're crouching by
a
rock and you see the dunce cap sticking up, you can just shoot them at the head.
I like that you just turn the accuracy of all their weapons down by a couple.
Oh, that's good as well.
Or the weapons shoot backwards in their own face.
Yeah, they've got massive recoil.
One bullet in 10 shoots backwards.
Well, we've done lists before, haven't we, about the funny and interesting ways games have punished
people.
We should
do another one.
And stuff like that.
That's great.
I get that it's complicated, maybe more trouble than it's worth, but sometimes that stuff's fun.
I mean, you're probably right as well in that the number of people that are going to get wrongly accused is probably going to be a lot smaller than the number of people that are going to be correctly accused and are screwing the game up for other people.
Yeah, I think just as long as there's a decent enough appeals process or a self-regulating system where you can claw yourself out of it without too much like me playing five games of low priority and trying to win in a team of like composers.
Hey man,
four...
all I did was go change my kid's nappy.
Yeah, but to that point, right, like you saying like, oh, I hope they get a taste of their own medicine, like, hey, you know what, I've been in games where people have AFK'd and I've been okay with it.
Oh, see, I'm not really talking about AFKing here. Like, I'm talking specifically about
AFKing
isn't cheating. You're not trying to get a benefit. And most of the time, you're not even trying to necessarily hurt your teammates.
It is kind of weird, though, right?
Something's happened, right?
Like, I remember when I was much younger, like, talking about, like, I don't know, 12 to 14, right? Where I thought it was fucking hysterical to cheat in online games.
See, I've never ever done it on an online game. I used to do it on offline games, single player games all the time. But
single player games, like fucking fill your boots. on a multiplayer game though, there was playing Delta Force 2 online, and I had this cheat where you could jump without gravity, right? So basically you became a flea. So you just like jump and you launch up into the air, and then I got a rocket launcher with unlimited ammo. So I jumped up into the air.
Just spam the map.
Yeah, like Pharaoh, just like justice reigns from above. And just fucking potting everyone with my like RPG launcher.
I suppose the problem is with that sort of thing, right? And I get why kids think it's funny, but you're not playing the same game as everyone else.
No, you're not.
At that point, you're playing a different game. You're playing the game where you're a jumpy flea with an unlimited rocket launcher.
Your
game that you're having a great time at, that sounds like fun, I'm not going to lie, is you're ruining the game other people are playing. Yeah. So you can see why people
In that instance, I do feel bad, but here's where I can kind of...
I don't think you should. Like, I think it's just... problem is there's so many people
here's
now.
Here's why
I
don't necessarily feel bad. Because back then, it was the fucking Wild West.
Yeah.
It's not like...
And you were a kid.
Yeah, and it's like... It's not like today where it's like, hey, online gaming is a big fucking deal. Back then, it was like online gaming were those modes where you go to fuck around.
So I should say, actually, with this story, one of the... a couple of points that were raised... is that it was community led is one of the reasons they're doing it, and they've had a lot of problems.
So the community asked for this?
Yes, and there's or they've been having issues with retaining the community because of it, and there have been problems in ranked matches.
It's not good.
Well, you see, that kind of takes the scumminess to a brand new level, right?
Yeah.
If you're cheating in a professional play, a tournament or whatever it may be, like, you know what? That's when I fully agree. Never touch that game again.
Or even ranked as it's implemented in Apex at the moment, it's like a mode where bad performance in a match hurts your rankings and you lose points and you go further down the leagues. It's the same with games like Rainbow Six Siege. Think about Apex, three-man teams. If you spawn and you like launch and land in Apex and one of your teammates is AFK, you've lost.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no, absolutely.
Being realistic, you might have an okay game, but you're probably not going to win.
Yeah, unless you're like fucking Tfue or something. Yeah,
but then this is going the other way though. That it doesn't want people to be falsely go up the rankings because they're cheating, and other people are getting artificially lowered down the list because the people at the top
of
the list.
I also think that that's a little bit of a self-regulating system as well, right? Like, if you cheat to get yourself into, let's say you're at a rank. Arbitrary number, okay, so I'll use Dota's ranking for instance, their MMR system. If you think you should be a 5k MMR but actually you're a 3.2k MMR, so you cheat or you account boost or whatever it is to get up to 5k, guess what, you're gonna have the worst fucking time in your games, because you know what, you're going up against people who have that actual skill.
I think the problem with Apex though is that it doesn't matter, right? Because you won't get...
Of course it matters.
No, but you wouldn't... It would just show you as higher in the rankings. You playing the game is still going to be you playing the game.
But if it's matchmaking, you match with higher ranks.
But you're still cheating, so it's not going to make any difference. Because you're still...
I think Chris was talking about...
If you're cheating to level up through the game, you've still got those cheats on, so you're going to be at that level.
What I'm saying is, if you think that you... if let's say you want to achieve a certain rank, and you cheat in order to get to that rank...
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but I think the problem with something like Apex is, the real issue is people cheat to be higher in the rankings, but because they're cheating, they can play at that level because that's what they've cheated to get to. But then it's also artificially going to lower other people down who should be in that level. So I think you've got like a shit all around.
You then start to get into the weird territory, which is a very uniquely 2019-18 sort of thing, which is the higher up the rankings you are, the more likely you are to get match made with people who are very good at the game, who are streaming the game.
Yeah.
And one of the new recent phenomenons is people noticing other people cheating on stream, happens.
That bitch Clara.
Oh, Clara.
I believe there was a story inside the last week
about Clara.
Of an Apex streamer getting killed by a cheater, watching him for like 10 minutes. Being like, yeah, this guy's cheating, reporting him, and him getting banned that same match.
Oh, nice.
Because Respawn admitted that it was a unique scenario because a Respawn employee was watching the live stream. So they can't do that for everything.
Yeah.
But this dude literally watched someone he reported getting banned in the same match, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Makes for a good stream.
Yeah.
So I would say as well that... So that was Respawn that we were talking about, but Blizzard are also testing a system that will close down matches if people are cheating. It won't then negatively affect people that were playing by the rules, as it were. But could you imagine, like, that's a different level where if I'm playing
in terms of what is this Overwatch, must be right.
It's just a Blizzard of testing, must so be I imagine Overwatch. It's going to be,
it's not going to be Heroes of the Storm, is it?
Well, I don't know how they'd implement it. They could implement it on any of their games, right, if they wanted to.
But then,
But
don't you think that's punishing everyone for one person?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. That's kind of, I'd rather they kicked the cheater than they just keep, you keep getting games that get shut down, because that's just going to be negative.
So, again, taking from my experience, I mean, I know I keep going back to it, but in Dota, if someone, so it's 5v5. If one person on your team gets kicked, right, you'd think, oh shit, okay, well, four people can't win against five people. But what happens is the XP pool that five people could share now gets shared amongst four people.
Okay.
So what happens there is those rewards. Four people, yeah, get a lot stronger quicker than, say, the five people,
right,
depending on how you play it. So that in a way, is a nice kind of checks and balances way of working it.
It almost reminds me of how primitive Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare was on consoles, where one of the players, usually at random, was the host of the game, and left, the game would end. And so you'd just be sat there playing, and you're like, oh, well, the host just left.
Wasn't that what happened? You say antiquated, like, design, but isn't that what happened with For Honor? It was like player-side servers or something?
Yeah, it's still an ongoing debate, because obviously people want, like designated servers or whatever they're called, but I understand that they're pricey to set up and run. So
not every company is Valve, although Ubisoft should have the money for it.
Next stage, of course, was a migrating server, because someone's left. We're moving over to you. Actually, it's nice that you talk about Ubisoft, because I think that'll roll nicely into our next little news topic.
Delicious.
Our next little nugget.
How many nuggets are we going? Have we got enough time for this?
So we're just going to do this one. I think we've had a third one that we'll leave out.
Oh.
Alex Jones's juicy news nugget. I'm curling it.
Alex Jones's juicy nipples.
The AJJNN. Alex Jones's juicy news nugget.
There you go. That's what it should be.
Branded.
I'm disappointed you didn't have nipples in there, but I'll let it slide nipple this time. Nugget. Nipple nuggets.
Nipple nuggets. Lovely. Anyway, moving on. Okay, so Ubisoft have announced that they're going to partner up with Hit Record again, which is Joseph Gordon-Levitt's community of creators that all work together to create, you know, graphics, music, video, all sorts of different things. And they then... I think they can sell them, people can buy them, they can also just get stuff used for free, but it's like a community creative resource, right?
A collaborative effort.
Yes. So Ubisoft have worked with them before for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yes, with the artworks, I think, like graffiti and what have you.
So they've announced that they're going to be working with them again, and they're going to be sourcing 10 songs from Hit Record. And they're going to be paying the princely sum of $2,000 per song to the creators. So that's
what games are going in?
This is going in Legion. Watch Dogs. Legion.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Which is quite a nice way as well. This the type of game that it is, the way that it is sort of like you can play as anyone, and then they're using like a community to build some of the music.
But I have a feeling because the last time they did this. This thing with Beyond Good and Evil, there was a bit of a controversy.
There's been rage. So
on both sides, I believe.
Well, this time around, the rage from the professionals has come from the fact that they're saying you're undercutting the industry because you're using these creators, you're not using the industry people, and you're paying like 2,000 quid is nothing, right? I suppose if you.
But they're just doing 10 songs. The game's not going to have 10 songs.
It's not. No, but but the first part of the news story.
Yeah.
I guess that's what everyone thought, is that all the music's going to come from Hit Record, but they've confirmed that it won't, and it is going to be 10 songs from Hit Record.
And the issue is that people have with this is that it's cutting out the professional industry.
Yeah, and that they're sourcing it from...
Right.
I suppose not amateurs specifically, but I'm sure there are a lot of amateurs on Hit Record, and that they're paying less than they should be paying.
But surely they're only going to get chosen depending on the quality of their work.
Yes.
You're not going to have some fucking four-year-old with a fucking flute.
No.
And it's a recorder.
It's collaborative as well, like you said. So it's the $2,000 will be across everyone who collaborated on that song.
Sure, which means you could land up getting like $5.
Yeah, depending on how many people are involved.
I mean, it's like, let's say if we... This isn't the way that YouTube works, but let's say that YouTube paid us $1,000 to make 6 lists.
Yeah.
And YouTube was just like, imagine. and then YouTube stopped and were like, actually, we're going to go to this big pool of, you know... like you said, a mixture of amateurs and professionals at varying stages of their careers. We're going to offer it all to them. We're going to pick the best ones, and we're going to pay them $500. And we'll be like, well, not only are we out of a job, but now like the going rate for a video is half of what it used to be.
Yeah.
And it does devalue the market.
It might encourage other companies to follow suit, and all of a sudden, our only option is to enter that pool of people. And this is where the flip side of the argument comes in, that a lot of people are angry about, both with the Beyond Good and Evil 2 example and the Watch Dogs Legion example. If 10,000 people say, I'm going to go for this, 9,990 people have done work for Ubisoft unpaid. Yeah. Now you can. It's a difficult argument because people be like, well, they volunteered to do it. They know there was no guarantee of getting paid. Yeah. They made the choice. They gave up their time voluntarily. But some people say that, like, for a company the size of Ubisoft to put out a thing saying, "Hey, how's your fancy? You know, seeing if like you could do this for us," and like offering no compensation whatsoever in some cases. Yeah. In the majority of cases, it's scummy. I don't know how I feel about it, but
I've got very strong feelings. But just to go on your point quickly, right?
Yeah.
Is it maybe just a less transparent version of what is happening with YouTube? I mean, you brought up YouTube. If we take that YouTube analogy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we say, what it's doing is opening up the doors so that Ubisoft doesn't always go to PewDiePie and Markiplier and Jacksepticeye or Allier in order to get content.
Right.
Right? It's opening up the door for other people who can then build up as well.
Yes.
So my feelings on this is, I honestly don't have a big problem about it, because they're only taking 10 songs from this community. Okay, whereas how many songs are going to be in the game?
So they've licensed 140 songs.
140 songs.
And they're also having a composed, you know,
like a score.
Yeah, professional score made for the game.
Professionals are still being involved.
Yep.
All right. But what this is doing is actually offering a community-based platform for people to hone their craft and say, hey, look, I'm just as good as these guys. Maybe you should give me a look. Because it's hard to break into an industry, right?
Yeah.
We know. We're like a medium-sized gaming channel. We know how hard it is to break beyond being medium.
Yes.
And we were lucky that we got to medium. Like, we, you know, like, if things had gone a bit differently a few summers ago, we'd still be a small YouTube channel.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying?
So let me use us as an example.
Yeah.
Let's say our previous YouTube, or our current YouTube banner was designed by a graphic designer for $1,000.
Yes.
And we needed a new banner, and we were going out to our community. Yeah. We got in touch with all our subscribers and say, hey, make us a banner. We're going to pick our favorite one and pay you $500.
Yep.
Sure.
Do you think we've done anything wrong?
I think it's a bit hard because we have banner?
We have a piece of art in this case. Yeah. But we've gone out to an audience. We've undercut of the previous rate that we paid by half. We've ignored the professionals who are trying to make a living do it. We're going out to a bigger audience and we're saying, hey, can you all work for free and we'll pick our favorite for less?
But that's what competitions are. But
they're not really framing it as a competition.
No, I know they're not. But
they're trying to make it seem they're trying to make it seem like the prize or the reward.
Yeah, they're framing it as a platform, right? Like a rising star platform. Like many companies do this. YouTube themselves have creator on the rise.
But is it a problem? That's the question.
I mean, I don't.
If
think
I can sit completely between the two of you.
Ooh.
Because
on the fence, Jones.
Yeah, I'm torn on this, because I do think that one of the problems with it is, whilst you're right in saying it's only 10 songs and they're giving a platform to people that might.
Yeah,
not,
don't get
might,
me wrong. Might, if they were like every single song in the game is now coming from, this I'm thing, I'd be like, yeah, that's fucking bullshit.
However, what I will say is, I do think this is and working with them on Beyond Good and Evil 2. It is the kind of beginning of sourcing content from other places and testing it. And it's interesting, actually, you guys talking about YouTube and saying that looking at us and how we operate. Because I, before working on YouTube, I worked in broadcast TV, which is kind of what was the only thing that was around before YouTube was. And then YouTube is, there's a lot less money spent on productions in YouTube and a lot people with a lot less skill. And I had, when I first started working in sort of television, I had the older people saying to me, you young guys who do more than one role, you're undercutting us who say we're just a cameraman. You are a cameraman and you're an editor, so you're undercutting our position. Then we go and make YouTube channels, and now advertisers can pay a hundredth of what they used to pay for the same sort of eyeballs on their content on YouTube. So there is a global sort of race to the bottom of media and entertainment in general.
Let's take that example, right? So there's good examples and bad examples, right? So yeah, maybe the cameraman who, you know, the cameraman who can, like, a DOP who can operate an ARRI, all right, or a RED camera, compared to someone in their bedroom who can operate a webcam.
Problem is now, though, those webcams are better than the... But, like, they're so good that you can give them to nearly anyone.
What I'm saying is, because I also, you know, I've also come from that broadcast background into a YouTube background.
You're just trying to make me look bad now, aren't you? Well, just because I worked a podcast. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Broadcast over here.
But listen, coming from, like, post-production...
Tell me more about MTV and Disney.
When Final Cut Pro 7 came out and everyone was like, oh my God, this costs like £200. It's undercutting Avid.
Yeah.
And well, people who know what... You know what the thing is? Even to this day, I can tell I don't want to work with editors that don't know what they're doing. And it's that simple.
Yes, but I suppose what I was trying to say
But Ubisoft wouldn't want to work with someone who produces shit.
No, but this is the point.
Out the shit from the good, in my opinion, is not to approach a community of millions of people, offering them all the ability to work for free, and then picking... I'd have much rather seen them say, hit record as a community of people who need more work and need more representation and who are struggling. We're going to find our 10 favorite users or creators on here and pay them for work, rather than saying, hey, everyone have at it, and we'll just pick our favourites.
I think as well, Jamie's point was that in his example was, you would end up, the people that should, who were professional composers, would in the future have to go and work for Hit Record because they weren't getting enough work professionally, so then you can go and get the same people from that would be in the professional side to make your game music for you through Hit Record for half the money, which is
There's also an element of it, and you're probably going to shoot me down, and fair enough, because this is a bit of a silly point, but there's also something here in my head where it's like, does it seem not quite as bad because in our heads a piece of art for Beyond Good and Evil 2 or a song for Watch Dogs Legion feels like one relatively small offering. But when you take this exact same concept and apply it to something that's a lot denser, and you said, okay, what if a film studio said, we're fed up of working with screenwriters who have moved to LA and are paying this much in rent. We're going to go to an online community of wannabe screenwriters and get 500,000 people, 500,000 people to write a screenplay for free and pick our favorite one and buy it from them for half the industry rate. All of a sudden, you feel a lot more sorry for the people who were incentivized by the opportunity and realize what they've really done is work for free.
See,
which is something we're told in our industry you should never do.
Yes, I still disagree to a point there. Yes, right? Like, okay,
that was a silly example.
But it's a good point you make. But like, if those screenwriters, so yes, feel bad for the screenwriters that poured their heart and soul into it and didn't get anywhere. But on the flip side, the reason they're probably going for it is because they need that break.
Yes.
All right. So if it's an opportunity for that one scriptwriter to have that break, then all for it. And you know what's going to happen is that script writer will make that script, and if it's chosen because it's a really fucking banger of a script, it's no different to saying that that fucking black book in Hollywood, right? There's no difference, because as soon as he makes that film, guess what? Hollywood comes knocking.
Yeah.
And you could
imagine. Isn't your point that they don't? Because then
they do. But they could.
But for the next script, they go back to the big pool of people again, and that guy never.
No, not necessarily. Because at that level, they go back for those scripts.
But I think we're talking about Ubisoft.
Looks at the level up.
Ubisoft is the top level, right? There is no one. They're in the echelons of the biggest games companies in the world. I don't think there's a level above them, and they're the ones.
What's going to happen, Jonesy? Like,
effectively UGC content. Right?
So this person who's composing a piece of music has never had a break in his life. He gets this Ubisoft contract, right? All of a sudden, he's buzzing. And what happens next? Fine, Ubisoft maybe approach him for the next one because they've worked with him and they like his work, or another smaller games company takes note. And all of a sudden, that person is now in the industry.
The thing is, I agree with Chris. I 100% think that it's a good thing that Ubisoft are, in a way, trying to reach out and find people who haven't had opportunities or been like hindered in some way in their progress through an industry or through their art, and they're being given that platform.
Okay.
But I'd much prefer the process of Ubisoft saying, here's a person who we've seen his demo, we've heard some of his stuff, we found him, and we're going to pay him. Because in my opinion, it's like...
Okay, how do they find that person?
Because through a community, how the same way they find anyone.
But this is what I'm saying. So if you're saying Ubisoft finds this one person that they say we really like.
Yeah.
But how are they vetting the people? The way that they're vetting the people in this instance is just by using a middleman, which is the hit record.
Yeah, but the middleman in this situation, like, it's one of those things where if you look at creative industries and the way people are hired and the work those people have done, it's a thing right now, and it would apply to us right now if we were to say, oh, we need a freelance writer. Okay. And we need we'd pay for that freelance writer. They'd write those scripts, and those the quality of the scripts would be the inevitable repercussion of what we paid for.
Yeah,
like it is a thing that happens. Like you hire someone who seemed right for the job, and the work isn't good. It's almost like Ubisoft is saying, to avoid that issue, we're going to get tens, hundreds of thousands of people to work for free.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's the solution.
Do you think that there's a difference to Ubisoft saying an announcement, a video that they put out? We are looking for submissions.
Mm.
So put your stuff on YouTube, all right? Or put it on Twitter or social media and use this hashtag, like...
More like a traditional sort of competition.
Hey, Ubisoft, check this out.
Yeah. Mm.
And then they go through it and choose something from there.
I would say I'd much prefer if they said, we are looking for new up-and-coming artists. Send us things you've already made for other projects or things you... I don't like the idea of saying, we want music for Watch Dogs Legion. Make songs for Watch Dogs Legion and we'll pick that.
Yeah.
I'd much prefer the idea.
Okay,
of,
I get what you're saying. Yeah,
like send us your demo, send us your reel, send us a sample, send us a demo, send us previous work.
Okay,
which then you get into the vicious cycle
that,
of everyone wants experience, but no one wants to give you the opportunity to get experience, which is where you know a lot of people, postgrads around the world, are at. Like, how am I meant to show you my show reel if no one's hiring me to work as a DOP?
Like, yeah,
this is why I'm torn between the two of you, because I like the intent. I think their intent is good in that they're saying we're going to get people to you know, might not have had the opportunity to have a go at work.
I thought their intent was good with Beyond Good and Evil,
but when I saw it on stage,
I agree,
cool.
But then at the same time, it does make me think when they come to make the next Watchdog game, the Watchdogs game, when they come to make Beyond Good and Evil 3, when they look at the bottom line and they look at their margins and they say, hold on, we saved $50,000 because we used a community led program to do this.
Yeah.
How about with this time we save $100,000 by getting them to make just half the songs?
Well,
this is where the slippery slope.
Is where my argument falls apart, right? And I can fully admit that, because what's happening in the visual effects industry is so fucking plain to see.
It's horrendous.
So Hollywood don't want to spend a lot of money. So what are they doing? They're outsourcing a lot of their rotoscoping, their matte painting, their this, their that to India. Right, where what will happen is obviously India and those
lower cost labor, yes,
and what they can do there is they can say, right, there's not necessarily this person who has studied, who has like a degree in like a Bachelor of Arts or a Master of Arts or whatever, and has worked in the visual effects industry for 55 years. No, what's happened is they got this dude, they showed him how to do one thing and one thing only. And they've got millions of these people. Well,
yeah.
Not millions. I mean, that's a bit racial, but whatever. You know.
You're right.
But you know what I mean? Like, they've got
and they'll get 1,000 people to rotoscope out once.
But you know what happens is you get some of these movies. Like, Jamie and I saw it when we went to go watch Spider-Man.
It's terrible.
And it was like, I can't believe how bad
that's
that
looks. That's bad rotoscope.
Some of it's like, this looks amazing. Like, you could never tell the difference.
It's
and then some of it's like,
a bloody hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And even if you teach someone how to do it, if you don't have the experience, you can get it wrong.
Which is what I'm saying. Like, that's where my argument falls.
Yeah, and why Oscar-winning visual effects artists are now going on stage to collect their Oscars and saying, like, by the way, we're going out of business.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
And one of us is slightly different with VFX as well, because I think one of the big things that happened to them was that they pitched for work. The deal gets, and they have to pitch below the competitors in order to get the work. The deal gets signed. The companies make the films. They take all the graphics exactly as was what they asked for. The directors, whoever, will come back and change their minds, but they can't put the price up, and for the fact they've got to make changes because they won't then get hired for the next job.
Yeah.
So they keep their prices low, and then actually they don't make any profit. They make a loss, and then they go out of business, which is exactly what's happened numerous times. But this is why I think in media in general, we've never been that good. In entertainment in general, we've never been that good at rewarding creators for what they do. And there is kind of the business side of it. How do we get more profit while spending less on the creative side?
Even to take it on like the platform we're on, like YouTube, right? Like how many like amazing content creators have you seen? Not All Time Gaming, although we are pretty amazing. But like how many amazing content creators have you seen? And it's like, oh, this guy's only got like 5,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
Like, this is unjust.
And then it's how they can't support themselves.
Yeah.
And then
they've got to stop doing it. And you're like, man, I wish that person was still around.
And then this is going to make me sound like a dick, but that's why I'm not going to say names. But how many times do we find creators that we think are making equivalent products to ours, but worse, and the more successful.
Yeah.
Like,
is it odd that they reversed the way it worked, right? It used to work that with like YouTube, for example, on TV, a TV company would, they would take the risk, they had all the money, they would buy the shows, they would put advertising against them, and that's how it worked. Then YouTube flipped the model and said, right, the more views you get, the more ads get served on your content, which means they don't have to pay anything until you're already getting the views.
Oh yeah. So and it's directly related to performance, because then it's like you talk about, oh, you could have YouTube preferred ads. And
so what I would hate to see, and I don't think there's any in the games industry, I don't think there's any example of this yet, but if they move to a model whereby people are paid on how many people buy a game or how well a game is reviewed.
Well, that does kind of exist. That's Steam and Epic in a nutshell, right?
But I mean with regard to the creators of the... if a music creator for a game got paid based on how successful Watch Dogs was, that for me would be...
Although there is something like that, right? Because there were all these EA contracts that were leaked, and it was like, oh, if you get a Metacritic score of like above 90, I think it was for like
That's for the developers though, right?
But it's
which is still bad.
It's taking a step up. It's bonuses tied to performance.
But if they
it's
move like, that down,
do over 90 on Metacritic, and you'll get an additional $5 million
like,
or something.
If they move that down a rung to saying the individual like developers, coders, artists, music people,
well,
like,
maybe that does happen.
Well, I know one. Sometimes it doesn't, because I was joking with Rasheen yesterday about the GTA 4 situation with the voice actor who played Niko Bellic, who I think obviously worked for probably a reasonable rate and for a number of years, because it takes a long time for Rockstar to make games. But he, I don't know what he earned, but it probably wasn't massive.
Yeah.
GTA 4 came out and made over $300 million in his first weekend, and this dude turned around and was like, I did not know I was working on that. And he tried to sue. He tried to be I did not... Like, I got paid like $100,000 to work on to be the main character.
See, you know what? Like, tough.
Yeah.
It's like
the author of The Witcher.
Yeah.
Right? Where he like signed away the rights because he's like, how are they going to make a game out of this, fuckers? Ha ha ha.
And then all of a sudden
it's like this fucking amazing property.
And he tried to claw it back.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you don't get to do that. CD Projekt Red were the ones who made that game. Yeah. Not you had this story in that. Do you know what? This is not the same thing at all, and this is a complete aside, but there is a small thing that really bugs me that kind of relates a little bit. Is, I don't know if you know, there's a thing in the that people often do where they sell land, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's, I don't know if this is all over the world, but definitely in the UK, like a farmer will sell a field, right? And they will put a clause in it that says, if you sell it within the next 20 years to like a developer who puts houses on it, I get 50% of how much you get from the developer back.
Fair
enough. No, fuck off. You sold it, you got my money.
He's selling it on that basis.
No, but he can keep his fucking
land. It's a very common thing in football. Right. There are clubs that are sort of like feeder clubs, if you will, that are known for nurturing very young and very green talent, selling them on to almost these in-between clubs. Like a bigger recent example lately is a player called Virgil van Dijk, who went from Celtic to Southampton to Liverpool. The transfer from Southampton to Liverpool was for £80 million, but Celtic had a clause where they get a percentage of whatever he sold on for.
Do you know what that is?
Celtic got a percentage of that $80 million.
People who want to have their cake and eat it. That's literally what that is.
But it's also someone
saying,
if he was shit
and he never played again, they wouldn't turn around and give someone their money
But it's also a difficult one, because you don't want to sort of like objectify football players, but they are constantly evolving and growing
assets,
products.
Right?
Assets, right. Yeah. And for Celtic, when Southampton came knocking, it was like, for Celtic, imagine they'd bought a player at 18 and Southampton came when there was 22. They'd like, look, we've put 4 years of work into this. He's not the finished article. He's worth 20 million now, but he'll be worth 80 in 4 years' time. We know that, so we want a piece of that. It's almost like you're selling
Selling the future, right?
You're selling the prospect
and the
potential. And you're saying,
potential.
Look, we'll give you the bulk of that future, but we know the future's so big, we want a piece of it.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. It just, to me, it always sounds a little bit dirty, because they're, like I said, they're not gonna give you money.
A little bit dirty.
If they like eat a whole load of pork pies and they get fat, they can't play. Well, they're not gonna give you any money back.
If you hate that, then you'll hate this even more. Another thing in football is a thing called a buyback clause, which is when you sell a player to another club, but you're not sure if you're ever going to want them back, so you insert a clause which saying, hey, if we ever want them back in the next 2 to 3 years, we offer you this amount of money and you have to accept it.
I think people need to just, they need to just stop accepting those sorts of clauses. They need to get rid of these scumbags who keep trying to go, if you're more successful than I am, I want some of yours.
But here's the problem, because if Liverpool didn't accept those terms, guess what? Man, you would accept those terms. Right, well, yeah. Not, or whoever. Like,
that's the reason why there's so much money in football, because it's you're looking at the richest team sports franchises in the world, and if some, like, it's all about who's going to pay the most, and that's why the price keep going up and up.
You know
and
what
up
it is? It's like if you take like a hot dog and you drop it on the floor, and then all these seagulls start like fucking picking at it. It's like, yeah, you know what? They're all fighting. They're going to fight tooth and nail because the seagull next to it is going to fight tooth and nail.
To push it back to gaming a little bit, one of the reasons I find it frustrating...
No, I was enjoying the football.
One of the reasons I find it... that anything like the idea in gaming in any sense, or like rewards-based thing, or trying to undercut for people, you know, to make cheaper games, to make more profit in any sense, is because I'd like to think that as a community, right, gamers are happy to pay a pretty decent wedge to buy very good games. We'll spend like 60 quid to buy, and that's millions of people around the world. They'll make a shit ton of money, especially with online and with skins and things. We're spending serious cash on these titles.
Yeah.
We're not being stingy with our money. Mm-hmm. I think as part of that, the publishers need to say, you're not being stingy, you just want a really good product. We will provide the best product we can, and we're not going to be bastards. We're going to be morally, you know, a good company. So, for example, at the beginning of all Assassin's Creed games, right, you get that whole thing from Ubisoft. We are a culturally diverse office. We have people from all over the world. Yes. We nothing in this game is... And you really get the sense that they're trying to make an awesome game. I always get that from Ubisoft. They're trying to make a wicked game. I'd hate to think, especially from them, that a part of it is, we'll make things slightly shitter just so that we can claw back some more profit.
But I don't think that's what's happening.
No, I don't. No one likes that idea. Although one thing I will also say in the developer's defense, and there's not all publisher's defense even, and there's not many things, but one thing I will say is that if you look at the rate at which the cost of development has increased from, like, let's go 1980 to 2019, and how much the cost of video games has increased, cost of video games basically hasn't. Cost of development has gone up unbelievable.
But I want to say, but the market has increased massively.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is kind of the other side. One has to increase, if not the other, at least, right? They need to be able to sell to more people if they can't sell for more money.
Which is what a lot of people are talking about with streaming and stuff like that, and the reason that apparently more conventional manufacturers of consoles and games aren't worried about it is that it's not zero sum.
Yeah.
Is that the market keeps getting bigger. Yeah. And so they're not worried about Google Stadia necessarily taking away their audience.
Because even if they take a big chunk, the audience has just grown.
Yeah, but even them being like existing would increase the audience, which means that potentially their products are open to a wider audience.
Right, exactly.
Anyway. It's a shame because the third topic we had to talk about would have rolled really nicely.
Let's hear it and leave on a cliffhanger.
Was it about Virgil van Dijk?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, good.
It wasn't. No, okay. So the third one was going to be about Joe Twist, the CEO of Ukey, which is the UK Interactive Entertainment Board Group, whatever they are. They're a non-profit in the UK, talking about cultural bias against the people who play games and people who make games, and how we are such a big part of the zeitgeist nowadays that there shouldn't be this division between these are people, these are gamers, like, and people can say shit about gamers and they can insult them and they can do this. Yeah. And the fact that
fuck that, you're either MLG or you're not, so you know.
But but I guess, do we have time? We don't really have time.
We don't have time. Leave it as a cliffhanger.
Okay.
In fact, you should let us know what you think of that talking point in the comments down below.
Oh. That's a great idea. For the audience then, I'll frame a couple of things she did say that might be a little more divisive. She said also that words matter and that she would like to see an end to the use of terms like addictive to do with games. She would like to...
I'd agree with that.
Get rid of the word gaming because she thinks it's too closely associated with things like gambling. So gambling, which is
I'm a gambler. Sorry, I'm a gamer.
Is that because all the letters are in the word?
maybe. The most controversial for me was that she thinks
we shouldn't
use the word
without gaming.
We shouldn't use the term gamer.
Yeah, that's
what you call us then.
Because the point being that you don't call people like TVers, or you don't call people like, what name do you have for people who read books? Bookworms,
readers,
readers. Yeah,
they are reading. What are we doing? When we're playing a game. We're gaming.
Fucking nerds. That's what I call them.
In some respects, I have sympathy with that position, but I would say It's my hobby is playing computer games. And if I can't use a term to describe me, and everyone's like, yeah, but I play games too. And it's like, no, you don't. You play on your phone. A big part of my life is dedicated to playing computer games on different systems, and I spend a lot of time doing it. It's just a valid hobby as whatever the hell you do. Just because you played on your just because you played some Mario Run on your phone on the way to work isn't not the same thing.
No one calls me a porner just because I watch loads of porn. But maybe more people watch porn than play games. Maybe they call them porners.
Maybe that's this person's point.
That's true.
Maybe. Yeah.
But look, well, I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
Let us know in the comments.
Let us know.
Yeah, if the comments are good enough, we might pick up this discussion next time.
We won't.
But
we might do if it's massive. Give us 10,000 comments and we'll talk about this next time. There you go.
Don't even get 10,000 views, so I don't know where that's coming from.
Let's see if we can smash 10 likes.
Oh. But you can let us know your opinion on that and anything else we've talked about in the podcast on Facebook, on Twitter, at All Time Gaming TV. You can also reach out to us on Instagram as well, also at All Time Gaming TV.
Hey, what's the merch URL?
It is teespring.com/stores/ All Time Gaming TV if you'd like to get yourself some fancy merch.
Smashed it.
We're also on YouTube if you're listening to this on one of the podcasting platforms, or if you're watching this on YouTube, go onto any of the big podcasting platforms and we will be on there.
And you should rate us 5 stars because that apparently helps.
Yes.
We're a 5-star podcast.
Turns out having a good rating is what helps discoverability.
But hey, so much for joining me today, guys. It's been a wicked little podcast.
Alex
Thank
Jones,
you
it
very
is
much.
Always.
You've been a wonderful host, legitimately. Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
It's been great being with you guys, and I guess we'll see you guys at home next time.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Goodbye, farewell.
See ya.
See ya.
Sound of Music.